Let me share with you a verse. It's, I guess, one of many that I love. I love all of the Bible, but this particular one, in times of crisis, in times of counseling, to give hope, to give perspective, this is one of the ones that stands out to me. It's Psalm 46. It says this: "The Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters of the sea roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at the swelling of the ocean, though the stock market plunges, though the virus spreads, though the World Health Organization declares a global pandemic, and our nation declares a national emergency, though you can't find toilet paper anywhere, though we are inconvenienced, though we got to figure out what are we going to do with our kids now because they're not in school, though trips are canceled, supply chains have slowed, though the church has to think of some creative ways to be a church in this season," we read verse 4. Though all of those things, and you could fill in right now, maybe some personal crisis you're going through, though your marriage seems to be falling apart, though your child is straying, though your health is failing, verse 4, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of you. You shall not be moved. God will help you when the morning dawns. Yeah, the nations rage and the kingdoms totter and viruses spread and supply chains are slowed down and we got to figure out what are we going to do with our kids during this season. Yet God utters his voice. The one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth, for the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." When I read Psalm 46, which is fantastic, I'm reminded of a couple of things that the people of God are called to do in the midst of crisis. Or how about this, what they're not supposed to do in the midst of crisis. Number one, according to this passage, we don't panic. We don't freak out. The sky is falling. God is no longer in control. He's no longer sovereign. He has left me. He has forsaken me. We don't do that. We don't go there. Nor do we grow indifferent, or do we live in denial saying it's not that big of a deal. It's all hype, right? It's all exaggeration. The people of God do neither. We are calm. We are firm. We are rational. We are calculating. We understand and assess the information out there. And because we have a God who is faithful to us, we are a people who are faith-filled and full of hope. And that's important to hear because often in a season like this, we're prone towards fear. We all have our triggers, right? Those areas that cause us to remain sleepless and anxious and sweaty and our heart palpitates and we're stressed. We all have those areas. And especially in this season where it's all doom and gloom, I want to remind you that your God is on the throne. God is in control. He's in the midst of us. We shall not be moved. God will help us when the morning dawns. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies is with us. Embrace God's promises in this season. When Paul tells Timothy, who's a guy who's timid, God says to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Embrace that. We've been citing that in our house. We've been walking around, and I've been quoting that out loud and walking some of my kids through that verse. Let's memorize that. Let's embrace what that means in this season. Fight the fight of faith with the Word of God in this season. Take it. It's power. It's not just words. It is power to enable you to have perspective in this season. Embrace the verses where God says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will uphold you. I will uphold you. Embrace the Word of God. Now, the reality is that we are in a season that is unprecedented, aren't we? And we don't know how big it is. We'll find out, you know, in retrospect, the nature of it. But this is a kind of 9/11 event for our generation. This is one of those events, one of those crises that will define and shape so much of our culture and how we do things, much like 9/11 did years ago. And that's just a reality that we have to come to terms with. And as that is a reality that is on our front door, our government has stepped in, and they are taking some dramatic measures that affect our individual lives and affect how we do church, at least for the short term. And though I prefer circumstances to be different, of course we do, especially as it relates to our public gatherings on Sunday morning, the measures that they are taking seems reasonable. In fact, I think this is one of the reasons why God has governments in place, according to Romans 13. God has governments in place to step in crises like these to bring assistance. Romans 13 says that very clearly of a corrupt government, Rome, with despotic leadership that is pagan and anti-Christian through and through. And yet, Paul says, respect the governing authorities. And we all have our complaints, right, about our government. And of course, they intrude in areas that they ought not to. But I think that during these seasons and in situations like this, this is precisely where they need to step in. Right? If we got someone, some foreign nation, like invading Washington State, you know, the beachhead is Ocean Shores, like I want the government to show up and to protect. And so they're doing that. They're stepping in and they're trying to provide that baseline protection from threats to our basic well-being, to threats both foreign and abroad, both threats macroscopic and microscopic. And even if you may not be particularly fond of our government, you got to embrace the reality of Romans chapter 13. Now, one of the mandates that specifically affects our church, especially a church of our size, has to do with our gatherings on Sunday mornings. And so we want to talk a little bit about that and what we're going to do and how we're going to move forward. But we as a church, as a community of faith, we want to be in compliance with our state government and with really the spirit behind what our government is attempting to do, not just in letter, but also in spirit. And so this is what we're going to do. After this meeting, after the second service, we are suspending our Sunday morning services for the time being. We don't know what that means. We don't know how long that is, but we are going to stop meeting as larger groups. And we'll talk about what we're going to do to help realize the community that we are a part of. This will involve media. We are giving a soft run at live streaming. It's live streaming 1.0 this Sunday. Next week, we'll have live streaming 2.0, and we're going to work out the bugs, and we're gonna have maybe two services, one service. I don't know yet. We're working on the fly here. But what we want to do at the very least is to provide an online space for us to come together as a church and to hear the Word of God preached. And I have to say, thank God for technology, that we get still to be connected through technology. We also record our services, video and audio, and that will be available. We're going to attempt a digital bulletin We're going to stress, and we'll talk about this later, small group attendance. We are going to figure out ways to stay connected as a church and yet respect the wishes and really the mandate of our government. This does mean that all of our midweek children's ministry activities and Sunday morning activities, those are suspended. Pastor James, and he'll mention this later on, is working on creative ways to stay engaged with our junior high and our high school population, and he'll share some of that. The fact is, we're going to have to do church a little bit differently for the next few weeks. But here's the point, we're going to make it. We're going to get through this, and next year we're going to say, hey, do you remember those 3 weeks, those 4 weeks when we had to do church differently and how God stretched us and how God made us stronger as a community of faith because of it? We are going to make it as a church, and I think we might be better as a church as we see and seize the opportunities that are unique in this season to go back to some of the fundamentals of church life. And so changes are afoot as of the end of this service. Now let me share with you some of the rationale for why we're not trying to do something like, let's separate our church services into 4 or 5 separate church services. I mean, that's one way you can try to do that. We can have 550, 600 depending on the Sunday, and we could try to separate us throughout the Sunday morning and evening slots. Let me tell you why we're not going to do that unless we find some more creative ways that, again, honors the spirit and the letter of the law. And it comes down to this. We want to love our neighbor well. That's why. We want to love our neighbor well. Well, what does that have to do with it? Well, let me tell you what that has to do with it. Though I'm not a virologist, nevertheless, the last 2 weeks I've been reading more about viruses than in my entire life. And what I'm hearing from all the experts, that we're in that place with the spread of the coronavirus. We're at that place where it is so critical for us to stop and to distance in some level from one another. And the point there isn't just to try to prevent the spread of the virus. There's a sense in which we can't stop it. It's going to spread. That's not the fear. That's not where we're focusing in on as we talk about loving our neighbor. Here is the fear, and here's what's happening across the world. Viruses, they spread not arithmetically. They spread exponentially. So it's not like one person affects another person infects another person, and that's how it grows. It's one person affects 2 people, and 2, right, multiplies into 6, and you have these exponential numbers where in a short period of time, you go from, and we're seeing it on the news, right? We're seeing, you know, yesterday, that country only had X amount of infections. Today, it's 1,000. It's 1,000. How does that happen? It's what we call going viral. It's exponential growth. And here's the challenge of exponential growth. And we're seeing this in places like Italy. We're seeing this in places like France. When you have these huge upswings of those who are infected, the medical infrastructure cannot handle it. There's just no way. There's not enough beds. There's not enough ventilators, respirators. There's not enough IVs. There's not enough people on staff in order to tend to the sick. This is happening specifically in Italy. I was reading this morning, doctors are weeping because they have to ration their care. They have to choose. Who do we tend to? Who do we allow to die? And they're telling the nations, Don't do it like we've done it. Nip the virus in the bud. Don't allow that upswing. Flatten, and here's the term that you've been hearing, flatten the curve so that our medical community, they can do the work to serve your child when they're infected, because they are getting infected. Kids are dying in Italy. They are being infected. And we don't want your children and grandma and grandpa and our entire community, or a big portion, overwhelming our local medical resources. And so because we love our neighbors, we're going to do whatever we can to avoid even coming close to that reality. Let me try to illustrate it differently. Imagine, for instance, let's say miles away, maybe 10 miles away, there's a raging forest fire. And it seems to be going in the direction of your community. We live in the Lake Limerick community. Let's say it was coming in our direction. And of course, the winds could shift and things can differ, and magically it might go out, it might snow, it might rain. But the fact is, the trajectory is towards our Lake Limerick community. And firemen show up to your door, and because they're experts at fire containment, you're not an expert, and they come to you and they knock at your door and they say, there is a risk here that if this comes too close, this entire community will go up in flames. So will you do us a favor? Will you lop down these trees? Will you clear the brush here? Will you clear your land? Will you get rid of that precious garden, maybe even for this season? Will you do your due diligence in order to prevent the spread of this fire? Because if it touches your property, though you may have some cool technology in order to extinguish those flames in your property, and yet yours could bounce over to another who may not have that technology. And if the experts ask you to do that, don't you go above and beyond. Like, you don't say, hey, what's the exact amount I have to clear in terms of the brush? Oh, 2 feet. Let me get the tape measure, because I'm going to do no more. We don't settle for a bare minimalism. We go all out in order to do whatever we can to prevent our neighbors from being affected. And of course, you know the illustration there is that there is a kind of fire that's raging around our community, and it's in our back door. We have no cases reported to date, but you know, there's no kind of magical barrier separating Mason County from Thurston County where the virus, they're like, oh, I can't get through to this Mason County community. Man, there's something special geographically about that area. Of course, that's not the case. It will reach our community. And we want to go above and beyond to protect our community, especially those who are most vulnerable, our older population, those who have underlying health conditions. And we just think Christians ought to go above and beyond in this area. And so this is why we're not going to try to get creative. Let's divide this up into 5 services, because, you know, these viruses stick around from 4 to 72 hours, and the traffic that would happen, it's defeating the spirit of the mandate, though it might be technically within the letter of the law. So we lay down our lives, we lay down our preferences, we lay down our Sunday services. And some may say, well, isn't that a lack of faith, right? Like, shouldn't you have faith that God could, you know, respond and protect your little church? And the fact is, it is not biblical faith for me, a guy who is not vulnerable to this virus, to put you, who may be at risk to this virus, in harm's way. That's not biblical faith. Yeah, let's just meet together, you know, just in the name of Jesus, because we're going to stand our ground, and meeting together is the most important thing ever in the history of the planet, and that's what's real faith. Really? Is that faith? That me, a guy who's not vulnerable to this virus, puts you in jeopardy? I think that's cowardice. I think that's foolishness in my estimation, and I think God calls us to protect the vulnerable. And that's what we want to do. So what are we going to do moving forward? And I'm going to have the elders come up in just a moment, but let me tell you some things that we are going to do as a church to be a church And it really is captured by that phrase, be the church. Because how many of you know that the church hasn't always had a building to meet in? Like, how many of you know that? And how many of you know that the church has often thrived in those times and in those seasons when they didn't have a building? Of course. They have gone viral in those places where they were not allowed to meet together, usually because of government persecution. And so what we're challenging our faith community here to do is to be the church. Let's go back to the fundamentals of what it means to be a Christian in community. Let me give you six ways that we are calling you to be the church. Number one, be the church by watching our services online on Sunday. And so we're broadcasting now. Hey, folks, all one of you, who's watching this? My wife is watching us right now. And I know that's weird, right, to get together with your family. And maybe you get together with your small group, because we're going to talk about why that is well below the risk factor. That may be weird, but so what? I have to talk to a camera. That's weird, right? Hey, guys, and you have to stare at my ugly mug, and I have to stare at this camera. And I know it's going to be awkward, but I don't care. I'm going to work my tail off to study God's word and to present messages for you to inspire you to follow Jesus. Ryan and his team will work hard to present worship that melts our affections to serve Jesus. Be online. Join us in those online spaces. And what I would encourage you, don't go to a church that's meeting. I mean, if this is your church, be a part of your church. Be led by your leadership. Join the community the way that we're trying to work on being a community. And don't watch other live streaming options unless it's after ours, because there's lots of awesome churches out there. And again, that's their church. Be a part of this church. Number two, be the church by attending a small group if your level of risk allows for that. It seems like the sizes of small groups are well below the risk factor. Even right now, as our local community are seeking for ways to accommodate for childcare, especially for our medical professionals, they are clumping kids in groups of 15, and maybe no more, and that was the last I heard. That might change, but we think going along with our community, that's a good, healthy number, and that's roughly the size of our small groups. And so we want to encourage you to press into your small group communities. That's how the early church did it. They didn't have churches like we have today. They met from house to house. They broke bread with one another. Now, maybe your only connection to our church is our Sunday morning gathering, and so that puts you kind of in this interesting position of, do I not stay connected to this church for 5 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever the time frame is? And what I would encourage you to do, get connected to a small group. And we are ready to start up as many groups as we possibly have to in order to accommodate for the need. Small groups are that important. In front of you, you have those connecting cards, and I know we don't want to touch them with our hands, so you can kind of cover your hands with your shirt and write out, hey, I want to be a part of a small group, and we will make that happen. Number three, be the church by reaching out to your brothers and sisters with technology. The last I heard, viruses do not spread through phone lines. So be intentional, be conscious, be self-aware that there are people in our church that can't get out for whatever reason, or who tend to self-isolate, who really need their brothers and sisters to be intentional to connect, to pray for them, to encourage them, to let them know they're being prayed for and thought about, and that we are eager to serve them. We can't do that on our own as a staff or as pastors. We really need our church to flex that networking care. Number four, be the church by serving our brothers and sisters who are most vulnerable. So, after the service in room 102, it's in the family center, last classroom on the right, Phil Wilson will be starting a team designed, at least right now, and who knows how the objectives will change, because we really want the team to help shape the agenda and the execution of what the Lord leads this team to do. But immediately, we want to make sure that we serve our elderly population in our church, those with underlying health concerns, to go to the grocery store and to track down the toilet paper that, you know, seems to have been raptured, and to get their medication, and to pray for them and to be attentive to their needs. And we're going to start here with this faith community, and as the Lord provides workers and vision, we want to expand that beyond and maybe have other objectives, but consider being a part of what we're calling our care response team. Number five, be the church by faithfully supporting this church financially, because this can get really dicey for Shelton First Baptist Church if people think that not attending means that, well, the church doesn't need money to operate. And of course, we do. You not attending doesn't mean that we don't have bills, that we don't have financial obligations, and that we don't have an agreed-upon budget that we have to support. And so be super intentional. You pay your PUD bill, you give charity over there, you have a budget. Make it a point to ensure that this church is secure, not just in this crisis, but also out of this crisis. Consider being more generous, because the fact is, people won't hear what I'm saying and they will disassociate their giving and attendance. So please support our church financially. And then lastly, be the church by living on mission. We think this is the time for the church to shine. Here's our opportunity. Here it is. People are anxious. They need hope. Families are strained. They need help. Our public services, they need help. Let's step in and help. We were going to. It seems like Mason General now has another accommodations. We were going to open up our facility to help provide for childcare for medical professionals. That still may happen, but I'm like, our doors are open. We want to do whatever we can to serve our community. We want to have eyes open, hearts open, hands open. A lot of us have extra time now. And let's not hoard our immunity, right? Because we're strong. So let's veg out on Netflix for the next 3 weeks. And let's not do that. Let's look around and let's be salt and light into our community and step into places to serve. You know, the hospital is the invention of the Christian church. Did you know that? In history, the reason why hospitals exist today is because when people ran away from the sick and the infirmed and from crisis, Christians said, Jesus compels us to step in and to serve and to care and to do our best. And out of that, this modern institution that we take for granted was invented by Christians. That spirit needs to drive us in this season. There's a lot more to say. We're going to put a link on the front of our page probably tomorrow, having some type of update webpage, coronavirus update, so that you can get information as we are getting it. Everything's so volatile and things may change tomorrow. Who knows? So make sure you bookend our webpage. If you have not liked our Facebook page, get there, like it. So much of the content we deliver here at this church is funneled through Facebook. And I think today the media platform for our live streaming was Facebook. And I don't know if